We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast. The Avs lose to the Tampa Bay Lightning 6-3. What was really 4-3 with two empty netters, but still a loss that was pretty frustrating, I think, at times. Certainly as a viewer, sure was frustrating as a player too. Let's hit the 60-second rundown before we dive into this one. First period, I actually felt was fairly even slow at times early on, but in the latter half, it opened up. The Avs are able to score first off of Bowen Byram, definitely not cheating at all. And then karma strikes as the Avs give up two goals in a 70-second span towards the end of the period and end up losing the period. From there, the second period, the Avs are able to win the period at least. They do make it 2-2 once again, Bowen Byram coming through with a multi-goal night. But if you don't know, the Avs cannot win when Bowen Byram scores two goals. That's a law of the universe. They're able to get a lead in the third period. A beautiful tip from Arturi Lehkonen gets them up 3-2. And then the Avs once again give up two goals. This time it's more like a four-minute span, so at least that's marginally better. But still, they end up blowing the lead in the third period and ultimately losing the game. We'll talk about it, but largely their top pairing being a hot disaster. The two empty netters make it 6-3. Eric, I want to start here because you were talking about this the most. How much of this are you willing to chalk up to? They've been on the road for 12 days. They've been out east for six straight games. And you could see it at the end of the third period after they fell behind. Yeah, there were not a lot of legs left there. But how much grace are you giving them, or is it still no excuses, that had to be better?
Well, I mean, there's never an excuse, right, when you have the championship pedigree. But reality is they were on the road. Forget about this last road trip. They were on the road before.
Yep.
Right, they came home for one or whatever it was. One or two. Then it's that break. Then it's the All-Star game, and then it's the 2-week road trip. So, what is it? AJ said it. 11 of 13
on the road.
11 of 13 on the road. So, that's why I say I gotta hate to even compare their road record this year, which is not good enough. But when you have stretches like this, they're tough. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. When playoff comes around, you never find an opponent. It's always an even match, you know, with your opponent, you know, where these are tough games. Just look at the end of the game when they're pulling the goalie, they had nothing. They're dumping the puck in. They can't even retrieve the puck. They can't even get sustained pressure. They couldn't get anything. They had no legs. When you have no legs, when you're tired, those things happen. They ran out of gas at the end. I'm not saying it's an excuse. It's also a reality. And then when you're tired, your brain doesn't function as well, you know. So if you look at some of those goals, you know, they're easy assignments that usually the Avs are on top of stuff, and they weren't tonight. So I'll attribute that to fatigue. I'll attribute that to that long, crazy road trip. But we just talked about it. It's over now, right? So only rosy days ahead, and they're the best team in the National Hockey League at home. So You would think they're going to turn things around.
They're going to have to continue being the best team at home.
Yeah.
To make up for this road trip a little bit. You guys, let me ask you this. More frustration or more disappointment that the Avs lost this game the way that they did?
I think it's frustration.
Okay.
You know, obviously, winning tonight would not have made this a successful road trip, but it would have made it
a tolerable one,
like passable, like sure. Meh. But the way that they lose it, you get a third period lead and you give up the tying goal on a clean breakaway that you're not even close to.
Yep.
20 seconds later.
Yep.
It wasn't. There's not a breakdown. There's nothing. I mean, it's inexcusable to me.
Yep.
And then the way that you play on ultimately what ended up being the game-winning goal, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I don't care how long they've been on the road. I don't care how many out of how many they've played on the road. Yeah, it's a gauntlet. That's a tough stretch. That was their hardest stretch of the season by far. 11 of 13 on the road is a really hard stretch, especially when damn near every one of those was against a team having a pretty good season.
Yep.
And one of the ones that was against a team that wasn't very good was Montreal. They friggin' lost it.
It's true.
So, you know, I just don't. Tonight, I guess I just don't care. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. They put themselves in position. They had a third period lead for 20 whole seconds, and then they throw it away.
Brain fart.
Your best players.
Those were brain farts.
Your best players are terrible at times in this game.
Yep.
Your top defensive pairing is comically bad and just gets destroyed.
Yep.
And plays a main character role.
In blowing this game.
Exactly. In losing this game. And, you know, you can't even look at Eustace Onanen and just say... Oh, well, you need a save here, whatever. Like, what are you supposed to do in some of these situations? We talked in the pregame about, they need to tighten the screws, especially defensively.
There was no screw tightening tonight, man.
It was the exact opposite of that tonight. It's ridiculous. So, you know, you have a players-only meeting, and all right, you beat Washington. Great. That's awesome. You even blew a two-goal lead in that game. But, hey, you still won the game. You went out. You did what you had to do. Wonderful. You didn't build off of it in any way. You had an opportunity to come out of this with a good result, winning two in a row, going back home against a floundering Arizona team where you had a chance to win your third in a row and get on an official winning streak and feel like, hey, we're back into it now. We're moving in the right direction. That didn't happen. You completely fall apart in the third period in my opinion, in an inexcusable fashion.
Yep.
It was ridiculous. It's more frustrating than anything else. And they finished that 11 of 13 stretch. Those 11 games, they go, I believe, 4-6-1.
Sounds right.
That's not good enough. You're trying to, if you're going to be bad on the road, you need to host a playoff series. It's hard to host a playoff series if you're bad on the road.
Yep.
It creates the kind of pressure that now you have to win every single home game to make up for the fact that you can't win games on the road. It's a lot of road games, and it's against a lot of really good teams. I don't care. I don't care. Your best players were awful, awful on this road trip, and they got the result that they earned.
The way I'm about to tee up what I'm going to say sounds like I'm going to be critical of the top line, and I am in ways, but I want to shout out the way that McKinnon battled through this game.
Broke his nose.
Make it very clear. And honestly, on the heels of having hurt his face just recently, he's taken a beating on this road trip, and... So it's not to highlight just that top line specifically, but there are realities going into this Tampa game about what the Avs lineup is.
Yep.
It's a lineup that has a rookie goaltender in net in Eustace Onanen against a good Tampa Bay team. They don't really have a third or fourth line at the moment. The most complete area of their lineup is their decor. And as we talked about in the pregame, it's an area of the lineup. They've invested a lot of money. There's a lot of talent, and it just hasn't pulled through enough on this road trip. And there's different culprits from different games. It's not to single out just Makar and Taves. Tonight was a particularly off night for them.
It was.
But beyond those criticisms, you know, that top line, does have to do the heavy lifting then when you don't have a third and a fourth line. And you need your D to be more reliable, especially in their own end, and a little bit more aware, because Tampa is an opportunistic team that's going to chase breakaways when they see the chance to spring up on one. And it doesn't insulate then Justus Onninen enough. You know, Tampa's a accurate shooting team, but not a high volume shooting team. And for them to win the shots battle in this game against the Avs, which typically are more volume shooters and lead the possession game, they didn't play to their strengths from the players that were capable of doing as much. They struggled with possession in the first period in particular, and Tampa wasn't necessarily playing well like in the first 10 minutes.
I agree.
They were missing a lot of open net chances. And then evaluating the stars in this game is where it gets a little bit difficult. They needed a little bit more, and you look at the power play specifically, it's great that they score on one of those. That's wonderful. But those other ones look so dysfunctional. I was so quick to say the Avs power play is cured, but I think it is such a reflection of the current state of the team and the dysfunction among some of the top players when you look at what's happening on the power play. Allowing these shorthanded chances against, especially we were talking on the watch along about the second power play unit and the three defensemen, there's dysfunction. There's dysfunction now among Colorado's top players. It's not something they can't work through. But it is a problem at this point in the season that there is a lack of cohesion among players who are very familiar with each other.
I get that 3D is a weird thing and you might end up in weird situations sometimes, but that power play looked completely lost. And three dudes are losing a puck battle to one guy in their own zone. Like, I have no explanation for you there. It's just bad.
Well, I mean, I agree with AJ. I agree. You know, it's not acceptable. It is what it is. It's 82 games. It is a grueling schedule. It is the NHL. It's tough. You got to battle through. But in reality, I mean, if you look now, looking back, I was trying to be positive before the game, and it's going to, you know, looking back, Kel McCarr, outstanding first shift. I was like, wow, he's going to be flying tonight. Reality is when you play 25 to 30 minutes a night, you go on a freaking stretch like this, and I agree with you, it's not good enough. I'm not making an excuse. But the reality is they had nothing left in the tank, and where my proof is in the pudding is when they pulled the goalie, they had nothing. You know what I mean? This road trip, you know, they need to come home. They need to get some home cooking. They need to drive their cars and not get on the bus. And when it gets old, like, you're with each other all the time. Yeah, you love each other. They're your teammates. And, you know, but at some point, it's kind of nice to get in your car, play your own music, and drive home and go see your wife or your kids or your dog or whatever it is. Like, it just gets to be a little bit repetitious, a little bit, if that's a word. So they need to get home. They did have nothing at the end. There was nothing left in the tank. And we all know McKinnon's a superhuman guy. I mean, he goes on those torrid paces like he's done the last 30, 40 games. And he plays those ridiculous amounts of minutes. But I'm going to be brutally honest. Like, I think this road trip got to those top guys. You know what I mean? There was not much. And I'm talking about Kale. I'm talking about all of them. And I think that schedule had a lot to do with it.
Two things here. First, I'm not going to tell you the Avs' top forwards played great tonight. But at the end of the night, every guy that can conceivably considered on the Avs' top line had a point. McKinnon, Mikko, Lecky, Drouin all end up with points at the end of tonight's game.
I know, but I'm going to stop you right there. Like, I'm not arguing you. I'm telling you that I'm, what, 100 pounds overweight? Like, if you put me out there for 30 minutes a night, like, I'm going to get a point. Someone's going to get a point. Like, it's just going to bound to happen. They're too good. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean.
There's a bunch of guys in that list who had no points in the last three games. So I guess they scored some the other night.
Yeah.
But not the point.
We're on the same page.
The real point I want to make here is this might be the worst game I've ever seen the pairing of Makar and Taves play together. Genuinely. One of the worst games I've ever seen from that pairing. And maybe there's a little bit of recency bias in there, but those two particularly both just looked horrible tonight. And I said this on my watch along after last game. The way the Avs are built this year, they need their defense to be elite. Not very good, elite, to win hockey games. And you do that as a unit. All six of them have to pitch in, but it's near impossible to do that when Taves and Makar are letting you down in the ways they did tonight.
Certainly when you're missing probably your best two-way forward in Valanichushkin.
Yep. Logan O'Connor,
and
too.
And your other best defensive forward in Logan O'Connor.
Yep.
Like,
it's just reality.
Yeah, you need your defense to really do a lot better job of actually freaking defending.
Yep.
Where is he?
And tonight, your main culprit is your top guys. Devontaeves was so bad tonight.
He was awful. It's hard to... always context, understand... No one is saying that Cale Makar and Devontaeves are going to continue playing this bad. They'll be fine. They'll play better next game. But games like this have to be few and far between for guys like Makar and Taves. And really, when you look at this whole road trip from those guys, they just haven't been good enough lately.
I think that it's the best pairing in the NHL. Like, you know. But, like, yeah, this road trip, they were below average as a pairing. With that said, I'm going back to my excuses for them. You know what I mean? Like, the beautiful part of especially Makar is, again, I didn't hear his comments. He'll never point a finger at anyone. He's going to be the guy that's going to say, it's on me. I got to be better. I've seen superstars go through stretches like this. He's not different. When you're in it, you're in one. They're in one as a team right now. Let's all face it. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to get out of it, but they're in one. And sometimes you're trying your best and you got nothing. You know what I mean? And for me, Cale Makar, nothing tonight. Just go look at a couple goals there. His brain's not there. His energy's not there. Needs to come home. You know what I mean? Needs to come home. And I'm not defending the guys because it's your job to be on top of your game every night. But when you go through stretches like this, sometimes you're empty. You're empty. Yeah. You got nothing. You mean well. You want to do well. But the energy just isn't there. For me, it was a lack of energy tonight. And just by those last 3 minutes when the goalies pulled there, just showed it to me that freaking frack, they had nothing. Like, it's not even close.
I was talking with chat during the watch along. I want to get your guys' opinions on this, and I want to state a fact in this game. Chat brought up the conversation of when that D pair is struggling like this, do you consider breaking them up? Do you take some time off from the Makar Taves pairing together tonight? Before we talk about that, to be clear, the third Tampa goal was scored with a pairing of Byram and Taves on
Thank
the ice.
Thank you.
The right. fourth Tampa goal was scored with a pair of Byram and Makar on the ice. So they kind of did break them up, and it didn't go super well. Is it still an option going forward, or do you just stick 8 and 7 together and ride it out? Who wants it?
I mean, when they're both playing like shit, there's no good answer.
True.
Because now they're going to go play on a different pairing and play like
shit.
And
still be bad, yeah.
Look at the Steven Stamkos breakaway goal, mm-hmm. you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
That's this guy.
We'll talk about him. Yeah. He's a complicated talk tonight, yeah. I think. Yeah, For me, I don't see how you can break him up. I think you have to say, look, were they terrible tonight? Yes. Have they been below average on this road trip? Sure. But you've made your bed here. Your defense is going to thrive off of Cale Makar and Bowen Byram. And they just have to play better. And I believe they will. I'm not concerned that this is par for the course for the best pairing in the league all of a sudden. But they do have to go out and do that, particularly across this next stretch of games that the Avs have coming up, coming back home. It has to be better. But I'm not breaking them up.
No.
Okay.
No, I think that would communicate the wrong message.
Yeah.
To a lack of faith in two leaders on the team. And Benner already is unafraid to make changes to pairings throughout the course of the game based on situations. I think he'll continue to do as much, but I think locking that in, like, from the drop of the puck, separating them would be a mistake. I think it would send the wrong message.
I would agree. I If you can't trust them, who can you trust?
I think even just some of the line changes we've seen, negative results when it's gotten a little too carried away and has deviated from things that have worked. And so I would view that in a similar light.
It is pretty disappointing in a game like this, though, that you get a lead. You score a power play goal. So Makar goes and sits. You throw Taves out there because he's your safety net.
Immediately drops
and then,
it.
Well, and then you put the other guy in Byram out there who's having your best night on your defense.
Yep.
And immediately
gets made. Yeah.
They fall apart.
Yep.
And like, not like a, oh, it's a bouncing puck and a guy got behind him, whatever. Like, Steven Stamkos was like 10 feet behind them. Clear.
Long gone, yeah.
Like, it was unreal how bad that was between those two. And those are the guys that were, like, that's your safety blanket of a defenseman. That is your, the guy that is playing the best for you on
certainly over the last two games. Yeah.
And in this game in particular. So you can't even get through one shift with those two guys.
Struggle.
It's frustrating. All of it is frustrating because that's, you know, all the talk about Ryan Johansson and the 2C and what are they going to do about this and what are they going to do about that. But Bowen Byram and Devon Taves completely falling apart like that has nothing to do with the guys in front of them.
Doesn't
and
really it, matter who's your 2C
exactly,
at that point.
Everything to do with those guys. And that is the, that for me has been the real theme of this entire road trip is Nathan MacKinnon wasn't good enough. Mikko Rantanen sure as hell wasn't good enough. And Cale Makar and Devon Taves as a pairing, not good enough. Individually, not good enough.
Yep.
That's your top guys.
Right.
So if you evaluate the road trip, it's your goaltending was average. It wasn't spectacular. It's average. Your top guys were below average. Your special teams were mediocre. They were. Right?
I mean, mediocre feels kind.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to be nice, but it just wasn't good enough, that road trip. And then by the end, it was draining. It was tiring. You're talking about that goal there. You go and get the lead, and then the shift after a goal, I always yell tiff like the no-no's, like, it is so crucial. So when you're out there, and the best player in the NHL, I'm talking about the leading scorer in the NHL, Kucherov, Stamkos, a guy that scores 50 goals many times. I mean, within a few seconds, you're falling asleep. And that's why I'm using Bo for a second, like, yeah, sure. He jumped on the play tonight. Mikko gives him a nice pass. Awesome. You know, whatever. It was a goal. Vasilevskiy, there's nowhere the puck goes in. Great. He gets the second goal. But the key play of the game, you want to be an elite player in this league. You got to evaluate your games on every shift, not on, oh, I jumped up. I got the puck. I put the puck in the net. The play of the game tonight, you fell asleep. So that's tough for me to say, oh, wow, he had an outstanding game. I'm having a hard time with it. I mean, anyone can do that. I'm just saying. So, but the play of the game is when you fall asleep and let Kucherov slide that puck behind you to Stamkos. That's a tough one. It's a tough one for me.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of tough stuff tonight. We are brought to you by Bet365, though. I see all y'all in chat saying the Avs are nothing. They're not going to make the playoffs, whatever. Put your money where your mouth is.
First round exit, baby.
Yeah, go put a bet on it. I'm here for it. Huh. I hope you win your bet. I mean, I don't if you're betting against the Avs. I hope you lose your bet.
But they're going to come out of the West, so it doesn't matter. Just remember that. They're
gonna I hit
come
one out of the mine West. Tonight, even with the Avs playing frustrating and struggling. I did hit one bet at least. I got my Druin point on there, so count that for something.
Yeah, ex-player curse.
It always finds a way in a little bit. Whatever it is you're betting on, you can do it with Bet365 and sign up with code DNVR365. When you do sign up with that code, you bet $5 on any NHL game and you can get yourself $150 in bonus bets just for putting the $5 in. So that's $150 that you don't even care if you lose. It wasn't money you had in the first place. If you think the Avs suck, go bet on it. Jump in with Bet365. You can bet on all the other sports, of course, as well. Be sure to use that DNVR365 code when you download the app with that QR code on screen. Of course, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. And then, when you make the right bets and you do win a little bit of money, make sure you take some of it, be smart with it, and get some of it into a college invest account. collegeinvest.org. Fantastic place to make sure you're saving for whoever it is in your life that might have a future in college. And the best part is you get a bunch of tax benefits here in Colorado with a tax deduction. You can even use the savings for a trade school or an apprenticeship nationwide, so you aren't limited by your past there. You can do whatever path that person might be taking with a College Invest account. You can open your account at collegeinvest.org today. The College Invest makes it easy with a flexible saving plan. Excuse me. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast.
Oh my God, we're only in the second period.
I know. Gonna get to the positives, but there's one other thing I wanted to touch on in a second. Across this road trip, certainly these last two games, we've seen a problem that has sprung up at times over the course of this season. Avs giving up multiple goals in short spans. Washington, it was what, a 44-second span that they give up two goals this first period? It's a 70-second span that the Avs give up two goals in the first period to Tampa. We've seen it in the past, obviously the Nashville game where they give up two goals in the last minute of the game to lose. First of all, is this a real problem or is this fabricated as something we're just pointing out when it happens? And secondly, if it is a problem, how do you fix it?
I mean, if it's a problem, you're going to have ebbs and flows in the season. They're definitely in the freaking hole right now. You know what I mean? And shit happens. Go back to the Nashville game, right? Which is easy to go back to. Remember, it's like all of a sudden they're in a tough spot with the Pittsburgh game. And then, you know, they give up two in the last minute to Nashville. And it comes and goes in spurts. I mean, I don't think it's a problem. I think it comes with the way you're playing as a team right now. The way they're playing as a team. It's just not good enough. I mean, go to your point there. Go to the game-winning goal, like, which was right after.
It was
right?
Like, you know? 3 or 4 minutes. Yeah, it was a little bit short, longer.
I mean, but still, like, just go at the face-off, drop of the puck. All the assignments are wrong. Ross, the boss, is gone. Everybody's gone. Like, it's just, it's a cluster F of shit. And then Kale doesn't recover, and he's the one that looks bad because he doesn't, you know, stop that pass across, and then Kucherov, leading scorer in the league, he just puts it top shelf, right? So for me, it's you got brain farts when you're tired, when you're in one. I don't think it's a problem. I think it's just a reality right now that when they're just, it was a tough road trip from start to finish, from top players to bottom players. I mean, yeah, we can put the blame on, which I will, because I love being built as a team with top-end guys, because that's how you win. I don't care what people say. That's how you win. You need top-end guys. But also, let's look at the bottom-end guys. It hasn't been a very good road trip either, right? I mean, tonight it's poor Zach Parise. You know what I mean? I don't think that's what he signed up for.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not... I'm not laughing. I'm saying, like...
The Avs' ability to produce offense it nearly doesn't exist.
I mean,
Parise was the only one who had a real quality opportunity.
I always say, if you're not there, if you don't score, then create, do some shit, do some stuff, you know. It hasn't really been there in those losses.
Can they do not giving up two goals in 70 seconds? Yeah. Is that an option?
Exactly.
I think the concern to your question more generally is playing games on a knife's edge like that, where it's not just been the goals given up in a short span, but also the inability to keep leads or to have a lead, and having a lot of games, particularly on this road trip and the one just before it, where they're coming from behind.
Yeah.
And it's not a testament to how this whole season has been for the Avs, just something that's been felt lately. And I think the way that they manage the game inside the game has been not setting themselves up for success in that way, by letting the games be decided by such a thin margin. And that is today's NHL as well. But I think that's where the Avs, to hear Andrew Cogliano say we're about winning after the Toronto game, wherein they come back.
Yeah.
There has to be other ways that they're about winning that are a little more secure and dominant. And that's what I'd like to see them really focus on when they get back home in front of the home crowd, where they've played well so far. Is I think they're a little far removed from that feeling from this road trip. I think their confidence has taken a little bit of a hit in addition to being tired. And that's what I'd like to see them get back to, is dominating games.
Would you go so far as to say there were too many passengers on this road trip?
Yes. Oh, they don't have a third and fourth line.
Yep. They just... And obviously some of that is LOCs out, fouls out. Yes. Sure. But you got to make it work with what you have at a certain point.
I like Parise. I just don't think I've seen Parise yet.
Yeah, not having a third and fourth line... like in February, it's like this should be a good problem.
Yep.
Your whole defense is healthy.
Yep.
Both of your goalies are healthy. Most of your top six is healthy. You're missing one guy in Val Nichushkin.
Really should
I'm not
be.
Just I'm not here for it. Yeah. You know, like if those are your problems, you didn't do a very good job of building your team out.
Yeah.
And, Logan O'Connor, Val Nichushkin are very important parts of the top nine. I think Zach Parise has been fine.
I don't have many qualms with
Zach
him.
Zach Parise has not been put in very many good positions so far.
Exactly.
So it's tough to judge him, but...
I like him.
Two of your off-season acquisitions, Frederik Olofsson can't be the guy that they're asking him to be right now because they're punishing Ryan Johansson for being a... completely, I can't even say dormant. I mean, it's just done.
Yep.
He looks as washed as washed gets at this point.
There's just nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing happened. No, the needle doesn't move.
Not a fit.
So it's pretty tough when the middle of your lineup is the weakest part of your forward core. Great, you feel like you're strong at the wing, especially when you're healthy. You know, you're going to have Nikolai Kovalenko added to this roster in a month. That's great. Wonderful. The trade deadline will happen. You'll probably do a couple of things. That is all good and well. But you have games between now and then.
That March 9th doesn't help you right now.
Yeah. And it's just you're even more reliant on your top guys to do top guy things. And it's not just in producing points, but it's also in not giving points up. Yeah. You know, it was frustrating to watch tonight. It was frustrating for me. It was just very frustrating. It's a continuation of a road trip. Had they been 4-1 coming into this game, I don't think I would care about this at all.
They could get blown out 10-0 and be exactly. Like, it's the end of a road trip, whatever.
Exactly. But 11-13. I don't care about this at all. Who cares? Whatever. Let's get out of it and go back to town. Go back to Denver and reset. But that's not the position they were in.
Yep.
Because they were so bad to start the road trip that it increases pressure for them to win in a situation where they are behind the eight ball a little bit, and they didn't. And I do have a problem with the giving up goals in quick succession. I think it speaks to a lack of focus inside of games, that they drift through games a little bit, that they have very distinct patterns of they're good in this period and not in this period, but then in this period, and now all of a sudden it's cropped up. They've started to string together some third periods that haven't been as good. So now you're like, well, we always said if you're going to be bad in a period, have it not be the third period. Well, now they're struggling in third periods.
Yep.
Is this a temporary thing? It needs to be. You can't be taken seriously if you're going to struggle in third periods. This needs to just be a bad stretch of the season and not something that is becoming habit. And it's happened too much, too frequently, recently, to not feel the fear that it is developing into a habit.
No, it's not a habit. I agree with you. It's when you're in one. I agree. You're doing that. You're dormant. You're sleeping at times. Just look at that shift. I mean, it's an unacceptable shift.
Yeah.
But when you're rolling, those things don't happen. When you are in one, shit happens, like getting a puck in the face, and it does. Everything's happening, you know what I mean? So I think they'll get out of it. I think they'll make moves to answer. I do think people will be back, you know what I mean, from O'Connor to cross your finger on Val and things like that, right? Plus, I'll say it again. I said it 3-4 games ago, and I'll say it again tonight. Those things are good. They're good that it's happening. They're good to go through them because it only helps you at the dance in the spring. Because if you don't have that and it creeps up on you, which it does, AJ, I'm going to use his line, it all comes for you except Vancouver. It all comes for you. And last year, the Bruins was in the playoffs. Because playoffs is part of the season. So it comes for you. I like that they're going through it. That's how you talk, you manage. It's good for the coaches. It's good for the front. It's good for the fans. It's good for chat. It's good for anybody when you're going through it.
I don't think anyone likes that they're going through it. No. You will like it when they get through it.
That's what I'm saying. Look, when you're in it, it sucks. It's the end of the world. But when you get out of it, you learn, you look back. And they got out of it earlier this year. It was a shorter span, the Pittsburgh span. Remember, like it was
5-7. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a longer one. They'll get out of it. Again, it's not an excuse. The schedule has a lot to do with it. The key injuries right there a little bit, like when we're talking about the second and third lines, you know, like Val not there is, I mean, God, go back to when Val left. I mean, Val is a key piece of this team. He is. He is a key piece. And then when you take Logan out, like the last two games, you can see how he's becoming a big, valuable piece of this team, yeah. You know. It's very important to notice. And again, I'll say it again, and it's for something that we'll talk about a lot the next couple weeks. I'm not blaming the guy tonight. I like him a lot. They need help in the back, in the net. They need help in the net. They need help as a veteran backup goaltender. It's going to help Georgiev. It's going to help stabilize things. And right now, there's a short period of time left to go and do that.
Fair enough.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that certainly for this road trip, the depth is the bigger problem. Obviously, you need your stars to play better across this entire road trip. But looking at the Avs forward group of depth, Kiviranta, 1 point in the last month. Olofsson, 1 point in the last month.
Yeah, that's not.
Raijo, 2 points in the last month.
Yeah.
And I get it. There's the All-Star break, so that's more like a 10-game stretch instead of 15.
Oh.
But you cannot be an NHL forward on an 8-point pace.
No.
That's just not enough production. Full stop. You need more there.
And they get ice. I don't want to hear they don't get ice. AJ knows that. I've been one guy that didn't get ice. You know that. You looked it up. They're getting ice. 8 minutes is ice.
Yeah, that's because they don't trust any of them.
No,
so
but
they
I mean,
have eight. To. So like they have to split it all up between all those guys, and they're all playing 8 to 12 minutes.
8 to 12 is plenty of ice to get. Yeah, bring in more I'm just than saying, one
like,
point.
They don't trust any of them, so they're just like, we've got to try and get through some of this.
I know.
It's not like this. These guys have an advantage over these guys. They all suck right now.
Has to go off your ass at one point. I mean, it does. It does.
Can't score if you pass. That's what they say. It just feels like it needs to be better a little bit of everywhere right now is the point that I want to make. I don't know that you can point to any section of the Avs road trip and say that this area was good enough. With that being said, though, we do have 3 stars of the game tonight. At least something positive to talk about. Maybe. I suspect at least one of these guys is going to be a little bit complicated. I don't actually know what order we put them in. So, Tiff, who's star number 3? Nathan MacKinnon. Fair enough.
I regret having him at 3 because I totally ignored the fact that he broke his nose
in this game. And still got 2 points.
And came back and was pretty good, actually. So, sorry. I guess I'm the hater here. I didn't mean to. I should have put him higher. Yeah.
Certainly.
I needed 3 points with the broken nose whatever's wrong with his face.
Guess what? The Avs needed 3 points, too.
So. Yeah.
Fair enough.
But no, I thought he was actually pretty good for parts of this game and you know, the 2 assists. Cool, man.
Certainly of the star guys, he's been the most consistent one over this road trip. Even on the nights where maybe it's not great or he's not producing, you're still like, all right, he's in it. He's engaged. He's giving it a go compared to the Mikos, who at times have just been totally tuned out, and the Kales, who has just been struggling lately. I don't know.
The effort was there. I loved the play on the power play goal, specifically from the half wall to Drouin back to himself. I thought that was a really clever move that kind of made that play. And then obviously the feed to Lehkonen also makes that play. And I can't imagine what this game would have been like if he didn't come back, because they were already not trusting the forward group as it was. Zach Prise played up on the second line at points. Like, it was just a little bit weird. So I can't imagine how this game would have ended if he hadn't come back.
Ross Colton 1C is a tough ask. Not that Colton was even bad tonight.
Rantanen took some faceoffs again. He's weirdly good at that by itself, but then the rest of his game is a little bit tougher at times.
There are some struggles.
Lately, not generally.
Yeah,
he was good. I mean, he is the best player. He should win the Hart. He was good.
He wasn't better than the guy he's going head-to-head against tonight.
I was just
going to
say that. And then again, that's part of the schedule. It's part of his schedule with the All-Star break, and it's part of all the freaking mileage, you know, he's had this year. And, you know, he's only human. And tonight, yeah, he made a couple good plays. But then there's, you know, again, I'm being critical of him right now, but as I should, he's the best player in the league. There's a couple goals against tonight that, it's a tough one. You know what I mean? And that hasn't happened a lot this year because he's been on such a torrid pace, you know what I mean? Where tonight, yeah, awesome. You know, he breaks his... I mean, that's, you know, he's a warrior. He comes back. And, yeah, I mean, he was one of the Avs' best players, you know. But to his standard, nope.
Number two, second star of the game. Lekkonen, certainly the Avs' best player over the last two games of this road trip.
Yeah.
The 6 points in those two games, two tonight. It continues to be... we talked about him the other day. The stabilizing presence right now in the Avs top six, right?
Yeah.
Of guys tonight, I think you can nitpick a lot of people's games. I don't have hardly any problems with the way Lecky played tonight. So, big props for having the ceiling high on a team whose ceiling, or rather the floor high, on a team whose floor is a little all over the place right now for me.
Hey, he's so versatile too, but... he missed 30-some games, and the team, you know, went well without him. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then that, somewhere you're like, wow, I got to repay this back. You know what I mean? Now Val's not there. O'Connor's not there. I think he's held his end of the bargain to, you know, all right, I'm going to do my best here to fill in the hole. It just wasn't enough as a team. But as an individual, he was really good.
So are you trying to say that Lecky is why they're losing? He came back, now they're losing games?
I'm trying to say it's him. We all know it's Parise that's cursed.
It's
him and Parise.
It's true.
This is a typical AJ Bottom human take, right?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I was actually complimenting him, saying, like, you know what? The guy's carried his absence, and now he's, you know, carrying the absence of...
complimenting him.
No, I love Lecky. What are you talking about? I've always loved him. I tried to go get him for years.
It worked out. Put it that way. And then number one star of the game is Bowen Byram, of course. I think the story here is a little complicated. But before we get into that, this is now two games where you've gotten the confident version of Bowen Byram.
Yeah.
The version of Bowen Byram that the Avs defense needs. Is it going to continue?
No.
Obviously not scoring two goals. I just mean confident Bo. Is confident Bo going to continue?
No, because he won't get away with grabbing a guy's trousers ever again.
Literally just cheating his way to a goal.
No, man. It was fun for a moment, but that is not sustainable.
Crafty little slingshot, though.
And it is classic Bo. Like, that is a sign to me that his confidence is back, that he would do such a pesky thing. But there has to be more dimensions to Bo than just a rascally little guy, because he was a little bit passive on the breakaway later in the game. Yeah. We've talked about that already a bit too, but there were very few people that could help in that situation between him and Taves, and they were at center ice and they let that stretch pass slip through to Stamkos. They were the only guys who could have stopped it. I think they could have and should have, and I would have liked to see them try a little more.
Especially when you see him look back and he picks Stamkos up, and then he's still skating backwards, and it's like, dude, you need to flip the hips and go. So like, what are you doing?
He springs the play because he blocks a shot. Or, no, his shot gets blocked.
Yeah.
Great. But you see then how this happened, exactly how it happened. It starts with you.
I'm not excusing it from Bo, but part of what happened on this play, if you go back and look, is Byram does check Stamkos, and Miles Wood is exiting the zone to swing back around. And I think Byram thinks, oh, Wood is covering back so I can activate. And obviously that isn't what happened. And ultimately, he needs to be aware that he's the defenseman high in the zone there. But I'm just trying to break down what actually happened on the play.
What happened is, he had a better game last game. I thought he was awesome last game. Tonight, you can't let goals fool you. It's not always about goals, but I like that he's activating. He jumped up in the play. But that play, you want to win in the playoffs, you go back, you analyze the game. You can't have that play on that goal against. That's it. I like that he's got the swag back. You know, again, that's two games. You got to have swag for the next 30 and 40 and 50 games. But that play's tough, you know.
Well, and you know what? You make one bad mistake. All right. You also gave the team two goals, but then you're out there for the game winning goal as well. And I get Ross Colton as the guy flying the zone here, but you've ended up in your structure is completely broken down because Byram has flown to the blue line covering that guy. It may be less his fault there, but you got to be able to make plays on both ends of the ice, as Megan had alluded to. The goals are great. Hopefully he's confident. But they need it on both ends.
But you want to win in the playoffs, you got to check. Yeah. You got to defend, you got to check. And
well, so we should tell Ross Colton to probably pick up Nikita Kucherov in the offensive zone.
100%.
Don't be flying the zone, man. I'm not putting this on Bo.
No.
I'm cool with the breakaway. Yeah. I'm just drawing my line here and I'm saying no.
I blame everyone on that shift.
Buddy, it is an awful shift. I said it 5 minutes ago. I said, drop of the puck. Ross the boss, right? I told you that 5 minutes ago. Man on man, center on center. That's your guy. You don't fly the zone. It's everyone on that goal.
Right. Ross is the one that flies the zone, but the structure there is broken. You know, I think everyone but Cale Makar is probably out of position, and Cale Makar in position isn't strong enough to make the play that needs to be made.
He can't clean the mess at the end. You know what I mean? But it's just an awful play.
It wasn't the right play. I think they were all caught a little off guard because Colton blocked the pass from the half wall, and where it ended up going was to where Lehkonen and Byram were, and Byram obviously pulled up kind of aggressively high on that play, but I don't think Lehkonen and Byram were expecting the puck to go there because Colton blocked the shot pass from the half wall.
Sure, but you got to put yourself in a situation where you can adjust, right? And not just get completely caught.
And I think that's what they were scrambling to do. Well, and the adjustment was bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you assume in this league, especially in playoffs, you assume and you cheat, you get that. And that's why Edmonton can't win in the playoffs the past years. That's why those teams. And the Avs figured that one out 2 years ago, and they were lights out, a lot better tonight, especially when you're tired. It's a long road trip. We said it before the game, tighten up the screws, just be simple, go out there. That is a perfect example of what not to do on that goal.
Gonna need those screws to be a little bit tighter.
No, right there is like we're assuming we're gonna go
in the wall at all, perhaps. Doesn't work. And again, we gave Byram first star. I'm not trying to knock him.
I gave him first star because goals aren't everything, but they are the point of the whole thing.
Yep.
And when he scores two of your three goals, I'm sorry, but that's 66% of your offense in a game.
Yep.
It's a no-brainer to give him the first star. No-brainer.
It's also a guaranteed Avs loss when he scores two goals.
So. Yeah, they're 0-3 now?
Yeah.
On when he has Byram in two-goal games from Byram. So.
Crazy.
Sick.
Never score two again, Bo.
Or just get the third one and let's...
Yeah, three counts is not two, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly, and we can just move on from it. Good Lord.
I like his commitment to play on the second one.
Same.
To see that the puck is not securely stopped and wedge in from behind. Opportunistic, and it was good that he was paying attention.
That's all you're asking. I think a lot of times, I think you're asking for a little more engagement out of some of the Avs on this road trip that they didn't quite get. And Byram had it on that play, certainly. If you want to get engaged to a bobblehead? I don't know. It wasn't going to work.
Gross. Weird.
What? That's,
that went sideways in a hurry.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw like a TikTok the other day of someone giving someone a bobblehead that like opened up and had a ring in it for engagement. No. Yeah. It's a whole thing. And Anyway, get your bobbleheads at foco.com today. You can go over there and get all of your sports merchandise that you might need, whether it be those bobbleheads. They've got licensed apparel. They've got things like pins. They've got hats. They've got Crocs. All sorts of cool stuff that you can get for whatever team you might follow. Obviously, the local teams here like the Avs, but anywhere in the U.S., they got all your teams. You can go to foco.com and use code DNVR10 to get 10% off your order to get awesome bobbleheads like we have on set back here and on the table there. Megan fixed up the broken bobblehead. It didn't work out for tonight's game. We might have to break the heads off again. I don't know. And then also brought to you by the folks over at FuboTV. Jump on with FuboTV. You'll like your local sports teams. That's what FuboTV's got here in Colorado. They have the Avs. They have the Nuggets. They've got everything you need at FuboTV.com/DNVR or the QR code on screen to get 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. They've got everything else you need too. Over 140 live channels, news, sports, shows, movies, you name it. They've got you covered. Even 1,000 hours of DVR with Fubo Pro. You can try a free trial today for 7 days. You don't have to pay anything for that. And you can, of course, cancel at any time. There's no contracts, anything like that. So jump on it. Give it a try with Fubo today at FuboTV.com/DNVR. And then hit up American Financing as well. Right now, interest rates are finally starting to come down. They're back in the fives. You can use American Financing to save yourself potentially up to $854 a month. That's what their average customer saves, which when you add that up, that's $10,000 in a year that you could be saving with American Financing. Basically, how they operate is they eliminate a bunch of high interest credit card debt, which makes your payments a lot more reasonable, and you may even be eligible to delay your next two mortgage payments when it comes to American Financing. All of their salary-based mortgage consultants are in it for you. It is salary-based, so they're not out here trying to make a sale or anything like that. They just want to save you the most money possible, and they may be able to close your loan in as fast as 10 days. It takes just 10 minutes to get with American Financing, so give them a call today. Let them know DNVR sent you over there at 303-695-7000 or go to AmericanFinancing.net/DNVR. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Again, that's 303-695-7000. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. You have 3 stars every night. That's great. But ultimately, a team that didn't get the job done, and I think a team that didn't get the job done for Eustace Annan tonight. He's your third string goalie, fourth string goalie, back, whatever you want to call him at this point, really did not play that poorly tonight, including making multiple saves on odd man rushes that the Avs gave up. Yes, he still gives up 4 goals, but you look at the weirdest bounce the Avs will see this season on a puck that ends up in the back of his net. 2 point-blank slide across the crease passes to Nikita Kucherov that end up in the back of his net, and Steven Stamkos on a breakaway that end up in the back of his net.
That's tough, man. Yeah, I know. That's tough. That poor guy. Somebody give him a hug.
Yeah. Another 4 goals against night for him. And on this one, I don't know, man. You just needed better from the guys in front of him, right? Let me ask you this way. Is there anything more that Annan could have done tonight?
You can always do better. I mean, right? I mean, I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, I'm not. You guys know I like the guy. I do believe he's going to be here the next freaking 8 years, like as either a number one or a backup. I like him. I mean, but you want to go on a run, you come in and, you know, like, I don't know. Like, you force them not to go get a goalie. You find a couple ways to make a couple more saves. That's what I'm trying to say. Do the Avs win? If he does that, maybe not. Like, you know, but I wouldn't say it was a spectacular effort by him, right? You know what I mean? We're on the same page. I agree. I'm not blaming him.
I know your big pet peeve here was on the weird bounce goal. You wanted him to come out and play it, right?
Yeah, I don't like that. It's right in front of him. You bat. It's a bad bounce. He froze. He panicked. You can bat that one off.
It's no man's land.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, but again, I'm not saying he was bad. I like him. He is a goalie. He is a lot better than Prosmatov. He might be better than freaking Georgiev one day. I'm just saying. But right now, you want to force someone, you got to go out there and freaking go out there 3 games in a row, give up nothing. And then you forced him not to go get a goalie, like I've been saying. You know what I mean? So he was good, but he wasn't, you know, great. You know, he was good.
Didn't steal
one. He was
one
of their best players. You know what I mean? I would say he was one of the abs, as he should. Rested, you know, he hasn't been, you know, taxed on this road trip, and you know what I mean? So I thought he was one of the Avs' best players. He was.
Megan, are you going to stab your couch partner here? Or is that an accurate description of Ananin's game tonight? It was
very violent.
She's got the goalie knife.
Oh, I understand.
I think I agree with his assessment. I think it's actually very flattering towards Justus Ananin in the night.
For sure.
And I would agree. I don't think he was a problem. There's very, like, you would have to beg me gun to head to come up with something I think he could have realistically done differently. A different goaltender, I think, could have handled this a little differently, but not by much. I think that when you laid it out, Rudo, you laid it out perfectly. How some of that was just a little hard to defend against. Maybe the first Kucherov goal, if the Hagel one-timer wasn't a rebound, then Makar and Taves, you know, can't have trouble settling that in the first place. Yeah. And then it becomes a Kucherov one-timer, which is significantly harder to stop. But even then...
You're digging real
that's
deep.
That's a dangerous chance. I'm digging real deep. I liked Ananin's game. And frankly, it's where I have the criticisms I did at the top of the show of the top players from tonight. There was an expectation going into tonight that they needed to be very good because Anunin's in net. And that's not meant to be a demerit of Ananin. He's played so few NHL games, that's just the reality. And so that's where I feel like they fell below expectation, because there was an understanding with Ananin in net that they really needed to be good. And some of them were just okay, and some of them weren't good enough.
You got to show up for your backup. Put it that way. It ultimately is what it is. I think there is no way to not be frustrated with this road trip for Colorado. You should be upset with it. I don't think that means that it's the end of the world. I don't think that it means that the season's over and the Avs should sell at the deadline, anything crazy, but they have to be better through the rest of this season. You have a 4-4-2 stretch in the early stretch of the year. And now, whatever this stretch ends up at, you're currently sitting at 1-4 in this 5-game stretch. Mm-hmm. So if you win out, you still play above 500 hockey. Go out and do that. Any final thoughts from you guys on tonight before we get to our last little segment?
I agree 100% what you just said. But the toughest thing to do is to not panic now, because it's so hard to do, right? Because it's not good enough right now. So then it just makes you like, you know what I mean? Breathe heavy. But the toughest thing to do is to not panic. And those guys have been through it. The front office has been through it. The coach has been through it. The players have been through it. They'll be fine.
Confidence?
Absolutely.
Are we happy with it? You think the Avs will be confident out of here? Or is this a tipping point?
I don't know.
Fair enough. Not going to argue with it. We are brought to you by the folks over at Red Hawk Roofing. Maybe they can build a wall in front of the net. I guess it would be a roof on the net for the Avs to keep them from giving up 4 goals a game. That would be nice if they could do that a little bit less. Go check out Red Hawk Roofing, though. They'll give you a free inspection on your roof. You don't have to pay anything. They'll take pictures. They'll show you what's going on up there. And if there are problems, they can get it fixed right up for you. Even if you haven't gotten an inspection, if you spring a leak or something like that, they're available 24/7. You can get a hold of these guys and get them to come out and make sure your roof is all good. They're Colorado local too, so always support the Colorado gang, and we're out here. Go to redhawkroofing.com today. Let them know DNVR sent you over there and get your roof all checked out. We do have one super chat from Melanie that says, "That was brutal. Onward and upward is the only way to go." You know, it's funny. I think something that often makes these losses more frustrating for Colorado as of late is that they have the ability to keep themselves in these games. You get a 2-goal game out of Bo and Byram. You have a lead in this game. And yes, they still find a way to lose it. From a mental standpoint, it would have almost been easier if the Avs just got blown out 4-0 and you go, "Ah, they suck tonight. All right, moving on." But instead, you're saying, hey, if they were one play better, they probably win this game. That's all it takes. is be about one play better.
Yep.
So, I prefer that because you're that close.
I agree.
To winning the game.
I agree. Even if it is more frustrating at times.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can be one play better most of the time.
If I wanted to watch a team lose 4-0 and kind of just shrug it off, I could go watch the Coyotes.
had to catch some strays tonight, huh? Had to fire them
up. I got
to
do it before they beat the Avs on Sunday.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
With more of those whack bounces.
Don't say that.
Don't say. We'll see. Part of me thinks the Coyotes might run into a freight train on Sunday. We'll see how it goes, though.
That'd be nice.
That's all I got. So I guess we're going to wrap things up for today. We will be back tomorrow for an off day show. So join us. Maybe we'll find a lighthearted topic to talk about that has nothing to do with this road trip or something to lighten the mood a little bit. But we'll see what we talk about then. And of course, we'll be here Saturday for... Oh, no, the game's on Sunday. I keep forgetting. I think it's Saturday. Sunday. We'll be off Saturday. We'll be here for the game Sunday. One last thing. We do have our final takeover of the season coming up in March, at the front end of March there. So join us. Come have a good time. Come watch the Avs take on Minnesota. It should be a fun one. There's a few tickets left on the party bus. You can come have a great time at the game with us. We hope to see you there, and we hope to see you at tomorrow's podcast. We'll talk to you later. Y'all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.